That is amazing.
Lon Milo Duquette, welcome back to Magic Without Fear's Hermetic Podcast. I'm Frater RC. It is such an honor to have you back on the show, sir, and I'm glad you liked that little video we put together. It just
Tell me what I can do to exploit that for all it's worth. That's just gorgeous.
I will absolutely send it to you, and you can use it whenever and wherever you like. I recently It was the result of recently getting a copyright strike on Dr. Chaito's promo for EnokiaCon. She's doing a course through our little Arcane Research Society. And even though she got a license, she got a copyright strike. We got a copyright strike. And I was like, yeah, musicians, even though they're licensing their music to people, they're still trying to get more money out of you by striking it and taking all your ad revenue, which isn't much on my channel, but it's just annoying and it's also unethical. So I threw together that little musical track with my local friend here and Juno Award winner Justin Hagberg of 3 Inches of Blood. And then my friend on Facebook, Evocar Lux, did the sound design. He's a professional sound designer, as you heard. I made the video on Canva. And absolutely, I'll send you the clip and you can use it as you wish, sir.
Oh,
My gift
thank
to you.
you very much. Yeah, please include all the credit information because that was unworthy. I'm unworthy of that. That's beautiful.
That's what we should be doing. It's always two people to one. We're not worthy. We're not worthy. So, great Babylon, sweet Babylon. We're here to talk about your new book, The Tarot Architect. And as soon as I pre-ordered it and got it right away, because you have to do that if you really want to be on top of things in Canada. And I looked at it. And I didn't realize when it was announced that you'd be going through your actual cards that you actually designed. And it was out of print for so long. I had always wanted that deck. It came back into print. I got it. I love it. It inspired me to actually want to make my own deck one day. Because clearly, like you've said, you're not a famous painter. And you just said, I'm going to do it. I'm just going to do it. And I'm really not the best visual artist. I'm more of a sonic artist like yourself. And so you inspired me to do that, and I'll be forever grateful. And your book goes into so much more. What's the top question you really wanted to know? What's the most burning question?
Oh, gosh. That's a tough one. There's so much in there. How you were able to summarize it into those meditations and those, they just really help. How were you able to decide on what was the most pertinent in this manner? Did it have anything to do with your Chicken Kabbalah and that sort of initiatory course? Because this is really, it feels as though like an initiation into tarot.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And you hit the nail on the head with reference to the Chicken Kabbalah, because with the Chicken Kabbalah and the son of Chicken Kabbalah, I sort of try to bring the essence of what a Hermetic Kabbalah is into everyday understandable, say language, but I guess language. Anyway, people are into tarot for all sorts of reasons. Okay. Some people just like to collect the cards and they love the cards, but most people try to use it as some kind of a divinatory fortune-telling device or spooky things. And the more you get into it, the more mystical and meditative it can become. And even if you don't have a great desire to know the technical foundation of the Kabbalah or anything else, working with it, playing with it, fiddling around with it for years at a time, many people report that they seem to draw out sort of natural psychic abilities, natural oracular powers, if you will. And it blows people's minds. A lot of people who are still mystically uneducated and superstitious still tinker around with the tarot, and they get spooked because it sometimes just reacts in uncannily accurate ways. And so they must think, oh, there's some evil power behind this. But there's not an evil power behind it. What's behind it is a certain amount of universal perfection. Okay. The standard deck of tarot cards, there's 78 cards, but there's really two kinds of decks in the card. And there's the small cards or the lesser arcana, which is like a modern deck of tarot cards, the way they're organized. Only there's four court cards instead of three, like in a regular deck of playing cards. And then there's those mysterious cards that people think of when they think of tarot cards. Ooh, the magician and the devil and the hermit and emperor, empress and death.
Yeah, everyone thinks that's a bad card, but any reader is like very excited when we get that. We're like, oh, finally moving on.
Yeah, well, when readers will tell, I take the death and devil card out before I read to people. Why don't you just snip part of your brain out too while you're at it? The whole foundation, in my opinion, of Western mysticism as opposed to Eastern thought, which is based on the wisdom of the Tao Te Ching and organization of the I Ching, and that's absolutely wonderful. It fits in with absolutely everything if you know how it fits in. But it, in the West, where the occult sciences are based on elements, planetary spheres, zodiac sign, very basic concepts that are actually an attempt to wrap our meat brains around what is existence itself. Okay, what is the world we live in? What is existence itself? And I'm not only a part of that existence, I'm an integral part of that existence, but I'm also the complete reflection of that, of existence itself. So in the nomenclature of religious thought, we are made in the image of God. Okay. And look at ourselves, look at our environment to see what God's about. Okay. And so there's a tiny little book, and I liked it because it was tiny, because I'm really a lazy guy. I have a short attention span. I need a short little book of some kind. And it was called the Sefer Yetzirah. And it is arguably the oldest religious text written in Hebrew. It's old. It's older than the Zohar. It's certainly older than any other Kabbalistic text. And the Sefer Yetzirah, in just a few short pages, gives an alternate creation story. And it just doesn't start by saying God did this and molded this and separated this and separated that. It just cuts right down to the chase and said that it describes how the singularity, okay, brought everything into existence in three steps and with three helpers. Okay. And it brought everything into existence out of nothing. Okay. Then already you're going, existence came out of nothing. But you can almost play that as a cartoon in your head saying, okay, I can picture starting with nothing. And out of nothing, it's a deity or the singularity, the negative singularity, brought everything into existence using three helpers. Numbers, letters, and words. So if we take the classic thing, and God said, let there be, and God said, okay. And there's the numbers are 10 numbers out of nothing and 22 letters. That's all it really needed to say. But it goes on to say, and of those 22 letters, three are mother letters that create everything else. Seven are planetary spheres or double letters. So there's three simple or mother letters, 7 double letters and 12 simple letters. 3, 7, and 12. And there's 22 trumps in the Hebrew alphabet, or in the tarot, greater arcana. And those 22 trumps are picture graphs, if you will, of those 22 letters. So that when you're picking up a deck of 22 trump cards, you're picking up what the Sefer Yetzirah says is creation itself. Okay. And the Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, one of my favorite parts in your book is where you quote that in chapter 4, if you don't mind. These three mothers, Aleph, Mem, Shin, are a great and wonderful and unknown mystery and are sealed by 6 rings or elementary circles, namely air, water, and fire, emanated from them, which gave birth to progenitors, and these progenitors gave birth again to some offspring. And I love this chapter because in it, the title is The Cube of Space, Tarot's Ark of the Covenant. I've never heard anyone equate the Cube of Space and the Ark of the Covenant. And as soon as I saw that, I just said, yes, yes. So tell us more, sir.
Okay. First of all, those three mother letters. Okay. Do you see that Saturn symbol there? Is it upside down? Yeah, it's a Tav. Hebrew letter Tav. Is that, are you seeing this backwards?
Yeah. No, it looks great.
I'm seeing it backwards. Okay. That Tav is that negative singularity. Okay. That's the universe card. Okay. There are two kinds of zero in the tarot trumps. There's the zero of the fool, okay, which is that zero.
Yep.
Okay. And then there's the zero of the universe card, which is the last card in the deck. And it has a circular ring that the dancer of the universe is dancing in. Let me find it for us here, if I can find it fast enough. Talk amongst yourselves. Let's see.
Talk amongst yourselves. And let me know if you ever need it, if you need a commercial break. I'm not joking. I have 2 1-minute commercials.
Yeah, go ahead. Take a commercial break.
All right. I have mentioned I want to have you at a NokiaCon next year. And I'm not joking at all. We're going to plan to maybe do it in the States. And we have it coming up next week in Vancouver. So here's a little, it's not too late, people, to sign up for a NokiaCon. Here's
Canada's
a little ad.
Only occult conference returns this July 11th to 13th. In NokiaCon is an opportunity to come together with leading scholars of esotericism and practitioners of Western occultism in a friendly and open environment in Vancouver, Canada. This year in 2025, with presentations by an amazing group of presenters, including Dr. Justin Sledge, Dr. Terry Burns, Father Aaron Leach, Dr. Sasha Chato, Frater Eleftheria of Lifting the Lamp, Dr. David Litwa, Chris Trenholm, Daniel Rekshan, David Rankine, Ike Baker, and P.D. Newman. You can also attend live online and experience premier presentations of cutting-edge research and discoveries, and experience beautiful British Columbia. Register to become a member and you also get included 2 upcoming winter workshops and access to Dr. Sasha Chato's phenomenal year-long undergraduate level course to introduce you to the academic study of Western esotericism. This is not even available at universities at the undergraduate level, but will be included now for everyone who registers to NokiaCon 2025 before July. Tarry not and sign up today. Go to NokiaCon.com or ArcaneResearchSociety.com for more information.
All right, we're back from these messages. Fun?
The thing is, Sefer Yetzirah says existence came into existence in the three steps. Okay, the three things spring out of that singularity in the middle. It just, so I ask you to put that card right there, the universe card, just put it in your pocket and identify with it throughout the meditations. It's all coming out of you, okay? Briefly, these two zeros, the zero of the fool and the zero at the end here of the universe card, are like what the physicists are now describing as the black hole, white hole. Everything goes in to a white hole or a black hole. Nothing escapes, okay? But it hits what they call a singularity, like at the end of a funnel. And then there is an upside down funnel that they're now calling the white hole, in which nothing can go in. Everything comes out. There's a black hole, white hole. The end of a creation cycle and the beginning of a new creation cycle. Okay. The singularity in your pocket, okay, springs, first of all, straight up. It has to create straight up while it's doing it. Okay, there is no up or down or right or left or front or back. There's only the singularity, okay? And it's a negative singularity. But for some damn reason, it decided to want to become self-conscious enough that it stretches itself infinitely upwards, as they describe it. And that is the first mother letter, Aleph, or the fool card. And it creates just an infinitely expanding line. But an infinitely expanding line is already invoking a duality, the upness of it all and the downness of it all. But I'll get to that in a second. Then it stretches itself infinitely forward and backwards. And that's the second mother letter, the Mem. Okay, and in the tarot, that's the Hanged Man, primitive water sign. Okay. And then, and so that creates, if you will, like an infinite plane that has no depth whatsoever. Just, okay. And the Masons, from a point to a line, from a line to a superfice or a plane, and then from a superfice to a solid, then it breaks east and west or right and left. And that's the third mother letter, Sheen, or the judgment card or the universe card. Now, each of those create opposite ends. You got an up, an aboveness and a belowness, an eastness and a westness, and a northness and a southness. And if you would just put that thing into the walls that they connect, they form a cube. And the cubes are the double letters, okay, and the tarot cards that go with those double letters. And the edges, the 12 edges of that cube, are the signs of the zodiac themselves. So the part of the meditations here, now that may seem very complex, but it isn't if you take it one step at a time. If you see yourself as that point in there, and step by step, visualize using the visualizations of the tarot cards, create your upness and your downness. Oh, and there's musical notes that go with it that you hum as you're, as the other people in your house are going, what the hell is he doing in there? Okay. Okay. I told you you can stop the interview anytime.
This is amazing. We're trying to lull you into a hypnotized state so that we can do this all day. Your wife will not think you've been abducted. What does the Cube of Space teach us about initiation, and how can we use the tarot in your book to aid initiation? This is something a lot of my friends have been curious about.
If you would look at it this way, that your mastery of the three mother letters is your first degree. Your mastery of the seven double letters is your second degree mysteries. And your mastery of the 12 signs of the zodiac and the incorporation of the first two is your third degree initiation. And throughout all of that, there is mystery of the lesser arcana, which deals with the tree of life and such. But I call the Cube of Space your Ark of the Covenant, because that is what you carry with you. I don't want these tarot cards to be something that you think of as being outside of yourself. Okay. I want you to build this entire tarot structure within yourself. Now, I travel with two decks because people every once in a while ask me to read their cards and things like that. But I travel with my deck because I build a temple in my hotel room. I can build magic circle. I can do everything. Enochian magic. Everything is in the tarot circle. Yeah. But if I'm at a reception or something and somebody wants me to read their cards and I don't have any cards on me, but they have a deck of, say, the Halloween deck or the Alice in Wonderland deck, they get their kids' deck, I'm happy reading with that deck. I'm happy reading with a Rider-Waite deck. Anybody's deck. Oswald Wareth. Okay.
Because you want to hear a camping trick I did once? Someone wanted a reading on a camping trip, so I took a piece of cardboard and paper that we had, just ripped it into 22 pieces, wrote, quickly scratched each Hebrew letter on it, shook it up and threw it down and read the cards as they fell. And that worked I was like, I'm doing this a lot more now.
Do you know what that actually was? That was casting lots. You cast in the biblical thing. And then Joshua casted lots. Okay. That's what they did. They put the Hebrew letters on broken pieces of pottery. That's
wow. Yeah. And the more it reminds you that the more correspondence you do, the more that your mind opens up when you then look at those simple letters. Yeah. Learn your correspondences, folks.
So you carry it all with you. One of the greatest tarot readings I ever saw was in a London pub where a man was reading tarot cards off in the corner and drinking those big, tall, huge, tall beers. Wheat beer, I remember, gave me gas. But I digress. He read with blank tarot cards. He would shuffle them up, have people cut and everything else, and then he would just lay them out. As fast as he laid them out, he says, Prince of Cups. Prince of Cups. Oh, and your wife is going to do... And, you know, the Two of Cups, love. The guy was great, absolutely great, because he carried the entire deck in him. I don't expect anybody to or everybody to do that. But it doesn't take long. And I am very lazy. And I, believe me, I've done every shortcut I can think of to make this absolutely pleasant and effortless and step by step. You don't even know what you've mastered until you've mastered it, okay?
So that's what I loved about this book, is it absolutely gives that. Mnemonic tricks for learning the tarot on a personal level. And those meditations are fantastic for understanding even far deeper than what one can just glean by reading the definitions in books and such. There's a lot of really good memory tricks for learning on a deeper level in this. And it's thank you so much for revealing these things to us in such a practical and pragmatic way. It's really a great gift.
And then I think a lot of people need as many memory tricks as they can get, especially as we get older.
Oh, yeah.
The more little mnemonics and meditations to integrate those images and definitions and meanings into your mind and soul is so valuable.
Yeah, and that's another beauty of the tarot. Most Empress cards have a kind of a beautiful, maybe pregnant woman on, and she's in a green dress and she's in a garden, and maybe there's like dove stuff and heart stuff, and she's usually got a red belt on and stars in her hair and things like that. You don't have to think, you don't have to memorize, Venus. Okay, Venus, planetary sphere, green, other colors, sky blue, doves and sparrows are sacred, Venus. No, just call up the image of the card. And as you're sitting down in a square room, wherever your nose is pointing, pretend that's east. And that whole wall is that Empress in her garden. Okay, you don't have to memorize anything else, because just that image. And if you've actually colored in a blank card or created your own image, that it's burned way into your psyche. And so when you look west, you don't have to try to say, what tarot card goes there? No, it's just there, and it's there forever. And then you look above you, and there's the magician. Okay, Mercury is above and the high priestess is below. Magician's above. Every ceiling I walk into, I see the magician pointing down at me. Okay, and the high priestess, the watery flow of her dress, if she has a dress, mine doesn't, the floor. Okay, and just one afternoon of just getting yourself situated. I turn to the right, I see the sun. I turn to the left, I see the tower card. And back of me is the Wheel of Fortune spinning. How hard is that? You don't have to memorize anything. And all of a sudden, you are, in a sense, putting yourself as the holy contents of the cube of space itself. See how I'm looking? I'm inside looking. West, there's Venus, there's my high priestess or my empress, and right in back of me, Jupiter, the spinning wheel. Okay, and just take it one step at a time. And now the book can be a project, okay, a project where you color your entire 78 card deck. Because there's proper Kabbalistic colors that go with it and things. There you go. Very good. There's the Prince of Cups. All sorts of stuff goes to that Prince of Cups. And there's plenty of blank space in it for you to customize it yourself. Because the more you understand it, the more you make it your... I'm gratified beyond belief that just within a couple days of the book coming out in America, there you go. People have posted on Amazon. They bought the deck or they bought the book and are already coloring the cards in, and they're sending pictures of their customized cards.
I'll do that too. I'll post on Amazon my colored in pages for sure. That's a good idea. Everyone should do that. Let's flood Amazon. Let's crash their servers with Lon's colored in deck. That's
great. Please, and leave an undiluted review of undiluted praise. Please, it helped. I made no further provisions for my family's future. Okay, so leave a good review, for heaven's sakes.
Maybe his sister worked on the images for the book too, didn't she? Rebecca Johnson?
Here's a good example. Okay, now, this is the image that I created, okay, I created the image, the line drawings, okay, and I organized all the collateral stuff there that goes with it, okay. Then Constance, just a week before I went to pitch the deck to U.S. Games, Constance colored all of them in. She did like as many as three a day. So Constance did the color work, okay, of the Tarot of Ceremonial Magic, okay. I ran across my original drafts, okay. And what are they, 30 years old? And they were all deteriorated and fuzzy and unclear. And Rebecca Johnston in Canada took every one of those and cleaned up every line, every blurry line. She cleaned up to look like this so that they could appear in the book.
Wow. Yeah, very clear and concise. And yeah, it's the whole package. One fantastic book, which I'm so grateful for.
And on page Roman numeral 22, there is a link website that you can go to download all of these images so you can print them out on your own cardstock using your own printer. And you can do them right inside the book itself if you want. Let's see, it's over here. Or you could take it down to your local Office Depot and have them printed out on cardstock if you want. But I want you to color in the deck one card at a time and all the color scales, and even suggestions about what else you might want to add. Okay. So let's say you just worked, you're really fast and really sloppy. Let's just say that you just took out some crayons and worked on the card for 2 hours. That's a 2-hour meditation where you are living, breathing, and as you're painting or coloring, even your breath stops as you're, okay. It is a bona fide dhyanic meditation for every one of the cards. Can you imagine what that's doing to you? Can you imagine the self-mutation that's taking place as you are creating your own cards? It's awesome. BOTA taught me how to do that, okay? Builders of the Atom. Fabulous, fabulous course. But I don't want you to do them 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, because that's not how existence came into existence. Existence came into existence like the Sefer Yetzira describes it, like the cube of space, the three steps of the cube of space. So I have you start with the bookends of, where's my, the bookends, the zero bookends, okay? You do this card first, okay? Because that's the card that you're going to identify with. It's all, the rest of it's going to spring out of you. Then I have you do the three mother letter cards, the Fool, the Hanged Man, the Aeon card, or the Judgment card, the air, primitive air, water, and fire. And as you're doing that, you are burning that information that Fool is springing to infinite above and infinite below. And that Hanged Man is infinitely springing from you east and west. And of course, the meditations actually talk about it and walk you through that, and running to your right and left is the Judgment card. Okay, so those three. Not only that, but there's Hebrew letters that go with it, and ah, for Olive, for she, for Mim, and shh, so that just the idea of and coupled with the imagery of those cards, it gets you really stoned. Okay.
We wouldn't know anything about that in British Columbia.
It's a real cheap high. Okay. Yeah. But once that's in you, and once you have created those cards, you've created them in yourself. Okay. And as you're laying in bed at night, you can just easily recreate that. Okay. And there's musical notes that go with it. So if you're musically inclined, you know, okay. And I got those musical notes there, and it is now an audio book too. Okay. And not that I want you to do the meditations while you're driving, but I couldn't help but buy the audio book so I could hear what they get. But I went straight to the meditations section because that allows me to relax and close my eyes and hear the narrator describe, take a deep breath, inhale while you visualize it. And so I don't have to look at the book and then close my eyes and look at the book and then close my eyes. Hey, that's a good idea. You got to get the audio book too.
Absolutely. I can put a link in the comments below so people can get a free month on Audible, and they can use that to get the Audible, and you still get paid. I just recorded a book on Audible for the first time. It was actually very hard. I bought a Neumann microphone, had to soundproof, and I did the audio for the Hermetica One. Check it out, by Dr. David Litwa. He retranslated and rearranged the original Hermetica text, including retranslating the Coptic fragment from Nag Hammadi, and organized it as a path of initiation. And this is by one of the leading Greek scholars in this field. So that's that. You can check me out on Hermetica One. And boy, was that a recording challenge, brother. And I know I talked to you, but I'm watching your music. You understand music, how recording works. And it's doing a whole 65,000 word audiobook was quite a feat. It took months. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I never sound more spontaneous, off the top of my head, witty when I have 9 hours to write that sentence. Okay. So I'm not, and not only that, but I stumble over my own words. Conscientiousness, I'd be stopping every 5 seconds, or every other word I'd be stopping. So I thank God the narrators have very fine voices. So I'm really happy with that. And of course,
I can hit or miss sometimes, I hear.
Yeah. So it's on Kindle too. And people say audiobook and Kindle, you don't have the cards to color in. Yeah, you do. Okay. Just look on the front end material. You can download them. Download them all. You download the pattern for this and other little goodies, Tree of Life and things like that. It's a good package. Yeah, I'm very proud of it.
You should be. It's a great book. I wanted to ask you, did you ever do much tarot reading with anyone like Grady McMurtry or Israel Regardi? Did you guys ever mess around with tarot together whenever you hung out with some of these departed legends that we had among us, or maybe perhaps even with some musicians that we might have heard of? Because it must have been fun for you to be in that musical world, but also have this magical skill set, right?
Yeah, Charlie D and I. Okay, that was my recording, or the first recording years back in the 69, 70, and 71. That's a long time ago.
I've read about those years.
We had a good contract with CBS, or Epic Records was our label. And so we had the luxury of being allowed to write new songs, okay? And Charlie and I, this is before I was into magic or anything else, okay? Charlie and I would get hashish. Let's just start there. We'd get some really good hash. And we'd sit in the living room with our hash pipe, a glass of water, of like distilled water, because we constantly kept hydrated, and our guitars. And for a couple songs, I had an occult dictionary, just a cheap old funky occult dictionary. And I would just reach over, grab the occult dictionary and open it up at random and put my finger and would write a song about whatever I put my finger on. We wrote a song about white goose feet. But we wrote a song that we ended up, it was the opening song on our album for Epic. It's called, we called it Theme from Mount Oread. But it starts off, sylphs and gnomes and undines too, salamanders beckon you. Astrally, I think I've been here before. And
I love that so much.
But no tarot cards, okay? The tarot cards came much later in my occult education. Grady, at my Minerva initiation in 1975, it was just Grady and Phyllis, Grady McMurtry and Phyllis McMurtry at the time, Phyllis Seckler. They were the only two people. They just initiated me in their garage. It was a very beautiful setup, but very Spartan. Then there's a feast, which is part of the Minerval ceremony. And Phyllis was a great cook. But anyway, at the feast, we were drinking wine and talking. And I was trying to pick Grady's brain because he worked with Crowley, visited Crowley during the war several times. He was Crowley's student. And he brought out Crowley's Yi Ching sticks. And he brought out Crowley's own copy of the Yi Ching, the only kind of English version of the Yi Ching that was available for time. And so I could throw the Yi Ching. I asked, can I use the sticks? Can I use his Yi Ching? And he let me, and I did the Yi Ching. I said, what is the OTO to me? And it came up, the army.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I said, yeah, and there's a moving line too. That anyway, it was, I'm still thinking about that one. Okay. And then he had his copy of recently released Thoth Tarot. And I allowed him to, I said, draw a card for me to send me on my way, something to think about. And he drew the Prince of Cups. Okay, so that's Air of Water. There's Yi Ching hexagram goes with that too. But have I lost you? Hello. Is it just me?
InnokiaCon 2025 was a blast, and thank you so much to Dr. Justin Sledge for bringing that rare, true and faithful relation copy of Dee's original Enochian work. We are proud to now announce InnokiaCon 2026, November 6th through 8th, in Austin, Texas. 2026 membership includes access to our workshop this spring, also in Austin. We will have multiple rooms, a workshop room, a green room, a dining hall, a whole building downtown. But 2025 is not done yet. Our members still have access to this December 6th, 2025, a full-day workshop with Dr. Terry Burns and Frater RC on the practice of Enochian magic, online and in person from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Thanks for watching to the end. Let's share some more details about 2026. Our EnochiaCon conference and spring workshop will be in Austin, Texas, 6th through 8th of November for the EnochiaCon itself. You can sign up at arcaneresearchsociety.com/2026. But it's not too late also to attend our 2025 course of study, including the December 6th full-day workshop on the practice of Enochian magic with me and Dr. Terry Burns. You can go to EnochiaCon.com to sign up there. While we cannot control whether any ads get put in the spots allocated, we thank you for listening to those that do, since they help keep this project alive. You can also get ad-free content and bonus content and videos and a private webpage by subscribing exclusively to magicwithoutfears.com for only a couple dollars a week, or $6 a month, or $50 for the year. It helps a lot, plus you get emails about other exclusive things. Thank you very much.
Hello.
Sorry about that. Our Wi-Fi just quickly, pardon. Are we back?
Yeah, you're back with me.
All right, sorry about that.
You went into that singularity of the, okay, that black hole singularity. I knew I could do it.
We willed ourselves out with our pure telepower.
The power. Anyway.
You knew we'd come back stronger than ever.
Yeah, he drew the Prince of Cups for me, which was his birthday card and my father's birthday card too. So that gave me plenty of Freudian things to think about for the next 50 years. But outside of that, no, I didn't do any divinations with Regarde. I consulted with him on Enochian things that I was doing, and he discouraged me from making my Enochian boards into three-dimensional pyramids. And he says they're dangerous enough when they're flat. And I said, maybe they're dangerous when they're flat because they're all squished down in there. The letters have some elbow room.
That's so that Regardi would say that to you. And I'm so glad you shared that, because otherwise, no, we might never have known that, because that was like he was initiating the Golden Dawn, and that's where they came up with the truncated pyramids. Westcott was the one to say, hey, these are not just flat squares. These are multi-dimensional portals and to multiple places. That was William Wynne Westcott's whole thing. But I guess Regardi didn't stick around the GD long enough to learn that.
When you don't resonate to Enochian, all magic is magic. Magic is magic. Okay, we've only got one universe to play with. Okay, and there's all different systems of organizing that universe and then playing with it. And some people just don't. They just don't get Enochian. It's not that they're not smart or anything else. It's just that I would rather stick with this other model over here. And it's just easy for me to see the 30 Enochian Aethers as the same thing as the 10 Sephira, only in 10. We've only got the singularity to work with, okay? But that's it. Yeah. Christopher Hyatt and I, when we wrote four books together, in 1990 and 91, and they were tarot related too. And we would just occasionally, we wrote together, actually. There you go. There they are. That Enochian world is probably my favorite. And there's Taboo. Yeah.
You can't see it, but there's a lot of books here and even magical tools that, yeah, you'd love Prater Bacchus's house. He's a carpenter, so if you ever need a tool, he's your man.
Oh, really?
Except the shipping from Canada. It's a bit much these days, yeah. Given
I don't know if they'd let me across, and I don't know if I got across and they had let me back. Okay. Things are hairy, aren't they?
We have free healthcare up here, so if you get stuck here, it could be worse.
You're always a welcome
guest. If I thought there was a way to do, let's talk about that.
Okay.
Things already are crazy enough that sane people are thinking about that.
You're good friends with our good friend Troy, and Troy's been very helpful and a good brother to me, helping me troubleshoot the conference that I'm doing. Really look forward to it. We all want you back here, but if we can't do it here, then maybe we'll do it down there. So things are going to happen. And I'd love nothing more than to have you at the conference. I was talking to Damian Eccles the other day, and Jason Louvre would be interested, and a bunch of people. It would be my dream would be to be able to have you do a little show, but have some musicians jump in with you. I'd love to play my flute. Anyway, we'll see. We'll talk offline, of course. And
July 11th is my birthday too.
Oh, happy early birthday! And I'll definitely send you a free admission to this year's conference, so you can come check it out if you want, or check out the recordings afterwards.
We'll see. I'm not traveling as much as I used to.
You can attend online. Everyone can attend online as well. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
We made us promise not to keep you longer than an hour. Is that promise abrogated, or shall we stick to it?
Do you have if you have another couple questions,
Jeremiah has a couple questions.
Monopolize the conversation here. I'm so sorry.
You're great. This is
it's fantastic, Lauren. I've got a brother who's doing his Minerval this Saturday, and I was wondering, would you happen to have any advice for somebody new who's pretty well-read and a Freemason too, but he's not new to initiation, but to OTO maybe, if you had some kind of advice?
Oh, Masonic initiations. It's a dramatic ritual where you're the star. And
I like that. Just
every man and every woman is a star.
Yeah. Just relax, enjoy it, and take it in. The best thing advice I can give is to stay awake, to stay alert, and process it. Just look at it in the same way. You can analyze it later. Okay, enjoy the pageantry. Okay, it's like when you see a good movie. Enjoy the movie, experience the movie, analyze it later.
That's good advice.
Okay.
I dig that.
That is great advice. And did you have any last questions for him? And if anyone in the chat, if anyone wants to super chat, I'll ask Lon a question. You can super chat a question. You had one about psychedelics.
I was just curious. So I know you're a Scottish Rite Mason. I was wondering, first of all, your opinion on psychedelics used in therapeutic sense, but also if you're familiar with the Scottish Rite's use or financial backing of the research into dimethyltryptamine and DMT, and DMT dimethyltryptamine.
The Scottish Rite is selling it?
I was quite surprised, but it's boldly stated in Dr. Richard Straussman's bibliography and thank you acknowledgements and stuff for the generous donation and research grants by the Scottish Rite.
It was surprised me when I saw that. I was like, what's the Scottish Rite up to?
Especially knowing that there's certain types of acacia that hold those very same.
I was always thinking about, hey, I think I'll smoke some acacia, see what it does. But
smoke a lot of acacia.
I think it would be a near-death experience more than
that. Yeah. Don't try that.
I know nothing about it except that it's not surprising that they would encourage any form of, would consider legitimate academic study of anything that to do with mind expansion and things like that. As you can imagine, I don't think a great many of the rank and file Scottish Rite people would really be to that kind of stuff, at least in the United States.
No, it doesn't strike me as something like that. But their research into schizophrenic, I believe, is quite documented, as is the DMT in relation to that as far as scientific. I was just wondering if there was ever something that crossed your path being involved in mystery religion or mystery tradition, I should say.
I'm sure Albert Pike would. Albert Pike worked with American Indian tribes. He was a Civil War general in the Confederacy. But it was his job to get the American Indian tribes to cooperate with the Confederacy. But he was really into Eastern mysticism and things like that. And I'd be very surprised if in his frontier travels with mid-1800s, if he wasn't smoking a few peace pipes that were more than tobacco. But anyway, no, I don't know anything about that.
Okay. Yeah, it's interesting that the Scottish Rite would be curious about that, but I guess a lot of people are curious about that. We're actually going to have a roundtable on that topic tomorrow with P.D. Newman and Frater Eleftheria, who's a Thelemic practitioner, quite well known now on YouTube as Lifting the Lamp. He's in Australia. So we're going to talk about the whole appearance of the Enochian Aboramon thing that got posted by the government whistleblower in the UAP thing. So we're going to have a whole little roundtable about that. It's going to be wild because I never in a million years expected Enochian magic, let alone hand-drawn diagrams of a unique discovery, to be posted in anything to do with the U.S. government. So that's wild. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. And it is far out. And you have this, the Scottish Rite funding DMT research. It's just it's a fun time to be alive, isn't it, Lon?
The Scottish Rite in the United States, anyway, their pet project, they have hospitals. There's Scottish Rite hospitals all over the place, specializing in burns and severe things like that. And at least in my valley down in Long Beach, their specialty is speech defects and things like that. And the idea, and they literally teach people who can't talk how to talk, and kids and things like that. So their charitable work in medical areas is a lot of the Scottish Rite money goes into hospitals and things like that. And they're honing in on schizophrenia as one of their pet targets to go to tackle. Of course, something like that would be part of the research, one would think. But I can't say, but that's a theory to go with anyway.
I appreciate your elucidation on that matter.
Yeah, that's great. Is there any question you wish we had asked you today? That you've done so many interviews to promote your book, and for good reason, people, you should go grab this book.
We love it.
Colored in. I think it's going to be a lot of people. It's hard to have a favorite. You've done so many great books, but so I think this is going to be a contender for a lot of people's favorite of your books. Obviously, your legendary introduction to In the Understanding the Thoth Tarot is still this. Every time I talk to people about you, that's the first thing they mention, of course. It is. That will stand the test of the ages, I think, in elucidating a fundamental geometric mystery for people with the unfolding of the rose and leading into the cube of space, of course, which then takes you to this book. So this is, again, just a gift to the world. I know some people in the chat are asking if you have any ideas about your next book. Do you have any thoughts? I think we should let him promote the first one before we ask him about another book. Come on, people. But if you do, no, why not?
The next book is How I Wrote the Tarot Architect.
a Guide to Tarot Architect.
How I Wrote It.
Part two.
One thing that those who recognize the fun and the ease of the Tarot Architect, if they want to have a collateral experience, and if they haven't read it already, read The Chicken Kabbalah and Son of Chicken Kabbalah. And actually, Son of Chicken Kabbalah is that 3-degree initiation ceremony that you could do in a group. You get together with friends and actually mount a 3-degree initiation ceremony. Go out and get drunk afterwards. Or Son of Chicken Kabbalah is the script for that. And it goes perfectly with the Tarot Architect, only it's almost like a group initiation, 3 degrees, just like the 3 degrees in this. So if they're inspired by the Tarot Architect, make sure they think about getting the Chicken Kabbalah and the Son of Chicken Kabbalah.
You heard it, people. That's your reading list. And if you want more of Lon Milo Duquette talking to me, he did an interview with me. It's 93 on the podcast, coincidentally. How did that happen? Just, I don't know how you happen to be at guest 111. And thank you for being 111. Is there a special mystery of 111 that people should be aware of that they might not know? What's the mystery of 111?
The Fool. The Fool. Okay.
We do love the Fool. We do love
the Fool. The Fool is Aleph. Okay, Aleph, the Fool, the most mystical card in the deck. But, okay. And the word Aleph is spelled Aleph Lamed Pei. And Aleph Lamed Pei, Alp, is 111.
Oh, perfect. Good luck.
So, folks, nice. If you want more of Lon Milo Duquette, of Rabbi Ben Clifford, check out episode 93. It was one of my favorite interviews I ever did. You talk about having cocktails with Regardi. You talk about the debates around the nature of spirits with Stephen Skinner. And thank you. That was one of my favorite talks I've ever had. And I think I held it together better than I have on some interviews, as you all know. So and thanks for having fun with us today. I really felt it. I needed to have our senior Thelemic correspondent from Canada here with me as a golden donor. There's certain things I just don't bring to the table that my Thelemic brethren do. And so we got Joaquin and Boaz right here, GD and OTO, united together with you as the middle pillar and consciousness, equilibrating us like air, which is which letter?
Aleph.
Here is Aleph. So there you go. There's your Kabbalah lesson, your chicken Kabbalah lesson, a union of Canada and America coming together. People, if it's not too late to sign up for a NokiaCon, attend in person. We'll hopefully have Lon do it with us next year and others. So we're going to say farewell, if that's all right with you, sir.
You bet. We'll send me along that link to that wonderful opening video.
Surely will. And we'll all get to enjoy it one more time right now as our outro. Thank you, everybody, for being here and for your participation in the chat. Send a super chat or donation if you want to keep seeing me do these live streams. The software is expensive. So thank you, everybody. And I'm sure we'll see Lon again before too long. Here you go. All the best to your lovely wife and have a magical day, my friend. And happy birthday. Happy birthday. Absolutely.
77.
Peace and love.
Hermetic Science Enterprises is a publishing company based in Scotland, UK, that specializes in Western esoteric printed literature as well as educational videos. With various imprints under its belt, its roster consists of grimoire tradition literature, alchemical works, Golden Dawn tradition books, and the several texts and videos originally belonging to the Philosophers of Nature. Besides its downloadable videos and standard hardcover edition books, Hermetic Science Enterprises also produces beautiful and precious limited fine edition books that are true pieces of art. For more information, to order any of its products, please visit www.hermeticscienceenterprises.co.uk. That's hermeticscienceenterprises.co.uk. And as a lot of you know, I've talked with the publisher Lenny on the podcast before, including a six-hour epic extended version on the Patreon, and seen the fine edition of his new Grimoire of Scott's Discovery of Witchcraft, which is only available for purchase up to 50 limited copies till the end of May, I believe. So check it out now. HermeticScienceEnterprises.co.uk. Hermetic Science Enterprises is a publishing company based in Scotland, UK, that specializes in Western esoteric printed literature as well as educational videos. With various imprints under its belt, its roster consists of grimoire tradition literature, alchemical works, Golden Dawn tradition books, and the several texts and videos originally belonging to the Philosophers of Nature. Besides its downloadable videos and standard hardcover edition books, Hermetic Science Enterprises also produces beautiful and precious limited fine edition books that are true pieces of art. For more information, to order any of its products, please visit www.hermeticscienceenterprises.co.uk. That's hermeticscienceenterprises.co.uk. And as a lot of you know, I've talked with the publisher Lenny on the podcast before, including a six-hour epic extended version on the Patreon, and seen the fine edition of his new Grimoire of Scott's Discovery of Witchcraft, which is only available for purchase up to 50 limited copies till the end of May, I believe. So check it out now. HermeticScienceEnterprises.co.uk.